Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Herbert Miller from St. Peter Lutheran Church in from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Westgate, Iowa, and Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa. Good morning, Pastor Miller.
Thank you, Andy. Good morning. It's a joy to be with you here today.
It's good to have some time with you as well and to get to study God's Word. Tell us about your congregation, St. Peter in Westgate, Iowa, and Grace Lutheran in Fayette, Iowa.
Well, we have a medium-sized church in a very small town and a small church in a larger town. Not too large, but it has the only... Grace is in the town that has the only... college that doesn't have a high school in that town in the whole United States. So I do a little work at Upper Iowa University there with the Lutheran students there, and I also serve St. Peter and Grace Lutheran churches here, and I really enjoy that.
Well, wonderful. Glad that you are there serving the people of God to receive His good gifts, to hear His word.
That's right.
Glad that you're there doing that, and looking forward to studying with you today. We're going to take a look at Mark chapter 10 today, verses 13 through 31. What would you like for us to know about the text before we dig in?
Well, Mark chapter 10 is everything, of course, is pushing forward in the Gospel of Mark. You know, again and again and again, Mark uses this word, immediately, this happened, and this happened, and this happened. It's like, you know, one of those action movies almost. But the fact is here, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus has just gotten done teaching on divorce. Somebody came up, a Pharisee came up to test him and said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus responds by saying, well, what did Moses say? And, of course, you know, we know that Moses there in Genesis chapter 2 says, in the beginning, God made them male and female, and said that for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know, so there's no... Jesus doesn't believe in divorce. So sure, he believes it happens, but he doesn't believe it's a good thing. But then we get into verses 13 to 31, and perhaps we can go through those now.
All right, let's take a look at those. We're going to take a look at Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 31 today. We're studying with Pastor Miller from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Westgate, Iowa, and Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa. If you have questions or comments, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 31. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. All right, so there were children coming to Jesus.
Yeah. And you know, the word children here is perhaps, it's a good translation, but we need to know this word was used of Jesus when he was about 2 years old. So we're not just dealing with children like, from the ages of seven on up or something like that, but we're dealing with even little children, and even in the Gospel of Luke, the parallel text here in Luke, we actually hear the word infant, little child, very little child. You know, the word there in the Greek is brephis, which means of infant or baby. So, you know, we got to get the context here. These are not just, you know, 7-year-old kids, you know, that are in first grade or something like that. But these are little kids.
The little kids.
All ages.
Yeah.
All ages, I guess I should say. I'm not trying to just say little kids, but I'm trying to include the little ones too. Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Okay, good.
So Jesus saw it and he was indignant.
Yes.
We don't
use
that word enough today, do we?
Here's the disciples saying, no, Jesus doesn't have time for kids. Jesus doesn't have time for little ones, and he's indignant. The word here means he's vexed. He is, angry even here to see that people are trying to stop little children from being blessed by Jesus. And so, you know, this is a big deal. for Jesus here to have the little children come. And what he says there when he says, allow them or permit them to come to me, do not hinder them, it's the same word that he uses in other places of the forgiveness of sins. In Mark chapter 2, he'll say to this man who was brought to him on a cot, he'll say, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And so he's saying, forgive the little children, allow the little children, suffer the little children to come to me. Permit them to do this. So that's awesome.
Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for right. to such belongs the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I didn't know the kingdom of God belonged to someone other than God.
Right. Exactly. How can the kingdom of God belong to someone other than God? That's a wonderful question. And the answer to that question is by God's gift. All by God's gift. You know, there is no other way the kingdom of God comes to someone. It cannot come by your works. You cannot merit it or deserve it, but it all comes by God's gift. And that is all bound up in Jesus Christ, our Savior. By faith in him, we have forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. And this is how the kingdom of God comes even to children, even to adults, whomever the Lord calls, to quote Acts chapter 2. There. Yeah.
Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.
Yeah, and this is one of those words, one of those scriptures that kind of gets mixed up a little bit sometimes. Folks think that, well, the reason Jesus says this is because children are somehow a little more innocent than the average adult. That if the children are innocent, okay, fine, then they can enter the kingdom of God. And you adults, you have to get like little children, become innocent like little children, and then you can enter. But anyone who has kids knows that that's not quite true. I have an 18-month-old daughter, and she loves to swing on her swing. If you try to take her out of her swing, she will scream. You know, and this is every time, you know, you have a lollipop. You try to say, you can have a lollipop if you come out of the swing. No, she will scream, you know. So, you know, she wants what she wants. Martin Luther would say that her will is bound, and bound to want what it wants. That's what happens with little children, too. And so it's not about them being innocent. It is about little children being totally and completely dependent. And that's what Jesus is saying here. You receive the kingdom of God by being totally and completely dependent on God for everything, from A to Z. Your entire salvation is dependent on God. God's action and God's work, the whole thing. He brings you to faith. He keeps you in the faith. And that's what God does.
And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Yeah, this is a wonderful thing here, too. It's not just that he pronounced a little blessing on them. When I have children come to the communion rail, maybe you've seen something like this before. Mm-hmm. When I have children come to the communion rail, I put my hand on them and I make the sign of the cross on them and I say, you know, may God bless you in your baptism, you know, and so I'm conferring a blessing on them, but I can't bless them with my own blessing because I don't have that. But I have the promise of baptism, and so I point to their baptism. I say, you are blessed because Jesus washed you in baptism. It's a really wonderful promise for both the child and for their parents that are there too, you know, to see that. It's not me, but it's Jesus, his work in baptism there. Now, the blessing that Jesus gives here, it's intensive, meaning he really blessed them. I mean, he blessed them with blessings. I think that's a wonderful thing. We can connect here forgiveness of sins to this. We can connect the blessings that normally come in baptism to this. This text is actually read several times in the baptismal liturgy. Well, I think at least once in Mark chapter 10 here. It's a beautiful, beautiful text about Jesus receiving children and blessing them. And that's what happens in baptism, too.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, anything else on this verses 13 through 16 before we go on to the next section?
Let's see. I'm trying to look at my notes here. You know, this is my first time doing this, and so I had to do a little work trying to make sure I did it right. So I hope I'm doing okay.
You're doing a great job, Pastor. Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, so yeah, I don't think so. I think we can go on. Let's go on, because this right here. I just to say one more thing about this text. I said there was nothing, and now I'm going to say something else. but
spoken like a
right
true pastor
is the center of this chapter. You know, the whole chapter revolves around this. It revolves around this way that God brings salvation to little children. Those who are completely and totally dependent on God. And we're going to see an example here. We saw an example before when we taught about divorce here of those that wanted to be dependent on themselves. And here again, in the rich young man, we're going to see another situation where someone is, you know, wanting to be dependent on himself for his salvation. And so it kind of ties everything together here. In chapter 10, 13 to 16 there. But let's go on. Let's go on to verse 17.
All right. Let's begin the next section then on the rich young man. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Great question, right?
Yeah, well, let's take that back a couple little bit here. Is it a great question or not? So, you know, the thing is, he is calling Jesus good, and Jesus is going to pick up on that first and really help us see that this man cannot inherit eternal life by doing. That's part of the thing. What must I do to inherit eternal life? The word there for do is to practice something, to do something, you know. We're not inheriting by our doing. How do you usually inherit something, by the way? Does it involve doing, Andy?
No, just really existing. That's about it.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know, we do need to know that this word, inherit eternal life, this was something common in Judaism in the day to mean receive salvation.
Uh-huh.
Right? Okay. You know, but still, he's asking what he needs to do to receive salvation. And, it's not that this is a question that doesn't have an answer. It does. It certainly does. And the answer Jesus gives is spot on.
It's a good thing.
Let's go on to the answer. What does Jesus say?
Well, and Jesus said to him, as usual, in true Jesus form, he responds with a question.
Yeah.
Why do you call me good?
Yeah. Right, exactly. You know, so here, it's not that Jesus is saying he is not God, because he goes on to say, there is only one who is good, God alone, right? He's not saying, "I'm not God" there. But he's trying to help this man see that he is not good, and that he needs someone else to be good for him. He needs the righteousness that is in Jesus rather than his own righteousness. Mm-hmm. Right now, what he's got is he's got his own righteousness, which although outwardly, apparently, it is pure and wonderful to look at, inwardly, it's absolutely nothing, and it will not help him in front of God's judgment seat. That's what's going on here. So let's go on to the next part here.
Well, let's do that. We'll take a look at how well this young man has, how well he's kept the commandments, how well he's done everything that he should do. We're going to do that after the break. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll continue studying Mark chapter 10 today with Pastor Miller from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Westgate, Iowa, and Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson with an invitation for you to join me over the weekday noon hour for Moments of Assurance, your lunchtime spiritual recipe. You'll enjoy encouraging scriptures, a bit of Bible history and trivia, news items, humor, the kids' corner, and more, all mixed in with faith-strengthening sacred music, a blend just right for your midday hour. So join me, won't you? That's Moments of Assurance over the weekday noontime hour here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Miller from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Westgate, Iowa, and Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa. We are in Mark chapter 10 today and about ready to verse 19. Pastor, anything else before we go on to verse 19?
No, I think we're ready to hit verse 19. I think this is where Jesus is zeroing in like a laser beam on this man and his keeping of the law, his doing, to see if that works. So,
all right, very good. He is, and so Jesus is talking with the rich young man, and the rich young man recently asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments," Jesus says. "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And
he's, and think about those commandments there that Jesus lists there. We have number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, and number 8 listed there. I teach my catechism kids there are two tables to God's law. The first table is commandments 1 through 3, where we love God, and the last table are commandments 4 through 10, where we love our neighbor. And so what is Jesus telling this man? He's talking with him about loving his neighbor. And the man says, "I've done this, even from my youth.
I have kept, all these I have kept from my youth."
All these, you know, and you know, here's the thing, Andy, you chuckle at that a little bit, and I don't doubt that he didn't keep these commandments, but I think outwardly speaking, he probably did. He was probably a really good boy. From his youth, you know, and outwardly he did what the law required of him, but is that enough? Is that enough to have eternal life? And the answer that Jesus wants this man to understand is no, it is not, because we're only talking about the second table of the law here. Jesus wants to zero in on that first table of the law, which is all about loving God. And this man has something between himself and God, and Jesus is going to figure that out. So let's go forward here.
Sure. "Teacher, I've kept all these," and Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me."
Yeah. Now, I love how Jesus does this here. He looks at him, and he loved him. You know, and so if you if you wonder, you know, how Jesus thinks about those who are outside of his kingdom, you know, what does he think of those? Well, he loves them. He loves them too. You know, he looks at them and he loves them. You know, and he says, you lack one thing, right? Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. He finds this man's idol, and he says, this idol cannot stand in my presence. There, you shall have no other gods before me. And so the idol of this man's possessions here is taken away from him. And that's what Jesus does. He takes away our idols. And it's not a very joyful experience as he's doing this in the law, and yet it is for our salvation. And so let's see what happens. You know, and it's a loving thing, too. We need to understand that. I think sometimes when we hear the preaching of the law, our automatic thought is, that's not loving. No, it really is. It can be said in an unloving way, that's for sure. You know, but the preaching of the law itself is not unloving. It's actually helping us see our sin and leading us to repentance and trust in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who saves us from our sins. But we're going to get there. Let's go on here to the next part. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Well, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The young man was sad. He had some good stuff.
Yeah, and not just sorrowful here. You know, it's like his face changed. You know, he was disheartened. His face changed. His face was downcast. You picture him smiling and happy and talking with Jesus jovially before this. And what must I do to inherit eternal life? Enlighten me, teacher. You know, but now here he's like, oh my. You mean my possessions are standing between me and following you, Jesus? That's too much, you know. And this is the way the law comes at us too. You know, we also hear this law, and we are disheartened by it. In fact, I think Martin Luther would say that we're terrified by it. It's not a pleasant thing, but it is for our good, and we'll get into that how this works a little bit later here. But keep going.
All right, verse 22.
Yeah,
and Jesus. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said to them again, children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last and the last first.
So let's take a look then at that first verse, right? How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. That would just shock these disciples out of their minds, Andy, because they lived in this idea that if you had wealth, well, God must sure love you because you got wealth. I mean, God wouldn't have given that to you unless he loved you, right?
Hmm.
You know?
Right, yeah.
You know, God must sure think that you are the bee's knees because you have wealth. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's this idea that we find in some wealth and prosperity preachers.
I wanted it enough, and I did all the right things that God wanted me to do in order to get that.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted it enough, and I did everything necessary, and therefore God has blessed me with this. Like, insert coin A into vending machine B and receive the blessing, right? You know, that's turning God into what Martin Luther calls an apple God, a God that just gives you possessions because you do the right thing. You insert the right thing and you get the right response back from him. But that's not how God is. And his disciples are astonished to find this out, that a rich man would not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's just absolutely crazy as far as their understanding things. It shakes up their whole world. But let's see what happens next.
All right. So the disciples were amazed at his words.
Yeah.
But Jesus said to them, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So they're amazed. And
yeah.
Jesus says again, this is difficult for a person to enter the kingdom of God.
It is difficult. It is difficult. You know, I think sometimes we get to a situation where, you know, we focus so much on God's grace and mercy, which we ought to. We certainly ought to. But we don't understand that the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh are coming after us because we've heard God's word. And it means that it is difficult for us. I just preached a sermon on the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And there Martin Luther says the devil's enlisting the world and our own sinful flesh against us after we've heard God's word. And so it will be difficult. Strange things are going to happen. Because of this, you will have to risk your life, your family, your possessions, your everything. And the more you have, the more it hurts your sinful flesh. You know, but the good news is coming in just a little bit here. So we'll get to it. Just hold on.
Okay? And they were exceedingly astonished,
yeah,
and said to him, "Then who can be saved?"
Yeah, exactly. You know, they're despairing of salvation. You know, and this is the key. They're despairing of salvation that's based on their work.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good place to be. Okay? You know, that is what the real preaching of God's law is meant to do. It's meant to strip away every prop that we use to prop ourselves up with, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah,
sure,
you know,
sure.
And this is what Jesus did for this young man. He took away his idol, and that's an important thing for us to get to. Whatever stands in between us and Jesus, Jesus will call it out and say, "No, you know, that is not what you need. You need me." You know, and that's the thing. So here, the disciples are saying, "Who can be saved? Who can be saved?" Yeah, and we're some people get around this text by saying, "Well, you know, it's not a real camel, and it's not a real eye of a needle." Or they'll say, "This eye of a needle was a really, really small gate in Jerusalem's wall." And of course, you know, Jesus was watching a camel go through this really small gate and say, "Oh, look, it's really hard for the camel to get in there." No, the idea is this is impossible, impossible for man, you know. And that's what Jesus says next, right?
Then who can be saved? They say Jesus,
yeah,
looked at them and said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God."
Yeah, and this is a beautiful, beautiful verse, and it connects with so many scripture passages in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. You know, with man it is impossible, but not with God. So salvation is impossible with man, but it is possible with God. And then he says, "For all things are possible with God." This connects us to the book of Genesis, where God tells Abraham that he's going to have a kid, and his kid's name is going to be Isaac, right? And that Sarah, his wife, who's 90 years old, is going to bear him, Abraham, a child when he's 100 years old. You know, this is impossible, but it's possible with God, of course. You know, God the Almighty can do this. It's the same thing that is spoken of as Angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to bear a child. All things will be possible with God, you know. And this is specifically focusing on, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the promised Messiah who's coming to redeem the whole world from their sins through his suffering and death and resurrection, you know, what he accomplishes there in Jerusalem. And here's the one who's doing this, Jesus, standing right in front of his disciples saying, salvation is possible with God. God is the one who works it, and God is the one who gives it to you. And that's good.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and this gift of salvation is given to you,
mm-hmm,
through God's word. As you hear this word that Jesus died for your sins and, mm-hmm, rose again from the dead, you have this gift from the Holy Spirit. Believe it and it's yours. You know, and that's the same thing that's given in baptism, what we talked before with little children, you know. Baptism is God taking all the blessings of Jesus' cross and applying them to an individual person there in the water. And the promise is there in the water because the words are spoken there, and that's what's going on in holy baptism. And same thing in Holy Communion, too. You know, God takes all the benefits of Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection, and he applies them to individuals there in Holy Communion, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of sins. It's a beautiful gift of forgiveness, and this is what is possible with God, your salvation. That's good news. Yeah.
Let's take a look at Peter's response here. After Jesus says, Jesus, you know, looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you.
I love this. You know, it's almost like Peter, you know, and notice it says, Peter began to say to him, you know, it's almost like Peter is like, oh, okay, all right, so if receiving the kingdom isn't about the wealth that you have or the things that you do, well, look what we've done, Jesus. We've left everything and followed you. We got to be number one in your kingdom then, right? You know, Jesus cuts him short, I think. He cuts him off here. He says, next. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. And so Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first.
Yeah, and see, this is a twofold promise here. First of all, Jesus is saying, yeah, he's promising, yes, you following me will mean that you will risk all of these things. You know, all of these things will be on the docket, even your own life, you know, will be on the docket here. But remember that through many troubles we must enter the kingdom of God. Remember that there is a narrow way, and few are those who find it. And yet the really good news here is that even in the midst of these persecutions, we receive in the church, you know, many who are brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, right? You know, along with these things that come into our life and vex us. The good news is that Jesus preserves us through all of that, and in the age to come, gives us eternal life. You know, so through many troubles, we enter the kingdom of God. And then he gives this wonderful saying here that there are many who are first who will be last, and many who are last who will be first. There are those who considered themselves number one. I think of, you know, Caiaphas and the other Pharisees, you know, and the chief priests. They considered themselves number one, and they were last. And then there are many who were last, and they became first, all by God's grace and mercy. This is a great reversal that God does. He brings down the proud, and he uplifts the humble, and those of lowly estate. And so here, for those who have this idea that they are number one, well, he brings them down with the preaching of his law. But for those who realize that they are nothing, that they have nothing, he gives them everything because of what he has done for them in his suffering and death and resurrection. And that's very good news. You know, so even though we suffer right now and we are persecuted right now, we have in the age to come eternal life. And trust Jesus' word, and that's what's yours, even amid all these trials that happen in life.
Amen. Looking over the text as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn today?
You know, I think that's pretty good. But you know, I think we need to make sure here too that there are probably some folks there that are rather wealthy. We live in one of the most wealthy countries in the world. We live like kings here. You know, even lowly pastors live like kings in the United States of America. we need to understand that it's not just the riches that that would condemn somebody. There were very many rich people that that were faithful believers in Jesus Christ: Abraham, David, Zacchaeus, to name a couple. But the most important thing is faith in Jesus, that he died for our sins and rose again from the dead for us. And this is what Jesus is encouraging toward his disciples when he says that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That faith is a gift to you, born from the Holy Spirit. So,
amen. Amen. Well, we've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Miller from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Westgate, Iowa, Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa. Pastor Miller, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study this Mark 10 text today.
Well, thank you so much, Andy. It's a joy. Joy to be on this program. And God bless you all out there.
Thank you. God bless you and all the saints there at St. Peter Lutheran Church in Westgate, Iowa, and Grace Lutheran Church in Fayette, Iowa. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to help sanctify your morning. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.